excuse me for my voice, but I have never, never seen anything like it. On the road again.
If we wanted to hit mailboxes, we could let Ralph drive. We're the best
of friends. Moron, your bus is leaving. Keep turning our way, and our way
is on the road again. Welcome to this big game edition of the On the Road Home podcast. This is Ken Crawford, reporting to you on the wet and dreary ride home from this year's big game in Memorial Stadium. I've really never been so upset and angry at a football game. I mean, it really was not an enjoyable experience for me today. I wanted this win really bad. This Oregon win was a nice bonus, but I really wanted this one. I'm sure you can remember that from podcasts past. And the Bears just didn't deliver today at all. A very, very frustrating game. Quick recap, Bears got the ball to start the game, and Manchin promptly fumbled the snap and managed to recover, and then the Bears got a couple first downs, and he thought, hey, a first snap jitters, no huge deal. Then he did it again, and Stanford gets the ball. And the Cal defense came up with a heroic effort and held Stanford to 3 points, and you thought, well, all right, it's a rough first break, but we're looking like we're getting the good defense again this week. Then Cal had a reasonably good drive, but ended up giving up an interception. And Stanford scored again. And Stanford scored again. And Stanford scored again. And there were more interceptions and more Stanford scores. Until it was 31-0 at halftime. And to make it worse, Stanford got the ball to start the second half, and promptly drove right down the field and scored another touchdown. The Bears finally got something together, and in between a couple of more Stanford scores, managed to get a couple touchdowns of their own, including one right almost as time was expiring, for a final score of 48-14. 48. I can't think of a big game that I know of where Stanford scored 48 points. I can think of some big games where the Bears only scored 14 and lost. But 48 points is just unacceptable. And part of it, I think, was just that this defense gave more than 100% last week, and they didn't have that much in the tank. And for the offense to go and force them back onto the field time and again, particularly to start the game off, they just didn't have 4 quarters of that in them. And you could see it get worse and worse as the game went on. Part of that was because they didn't have any more left in their tank. And part of that was because I think they lost their heart when they saw the offense struggling so mightily. But between Manchin's interceptions and the one drive that was entirely backwards because of penalties, what really ticked me off was I saw glimpses of a team that could win this game. I saw Manchin doing very good reads and making some good throws. Before I saw him way overthrow people and make horrible decisions like going across his body trying to get to Keenan Allen for an easy interception. I saw the Cal defense get close and close and close to sacking Andrew Luck and just never quite get there. And Andrew Luck complete pass after pass. On the one hand, this was a very good Stanford team. Andrew Luck played really well, although I still think when you rattle him, he's not as good of a quarterback. And today, he was protected very well. There were a lot of max protect environments, and we brought the house, and it's just a matter of time then. The defense can't be expected to hold when they're playing man-on-man coverage, or at least very limited help. You have to get to the quarterback, and the Bears didn't today, not at all. And then you just had things like the broken 58-yard run by Luck, where, that wasn't skill on Stanford's part, that was just a play that broke down, and it broke down in a really funky way, and he slid into a certain seam that the Bears couldn't get to, and, you know, that's not drawn up, that's not even really skill in the traditional sense of the football world. And then he had a long bomb where we had two defenders there, and somehow the stinking receiver comes down with the ball. Part of that was, it was a really poorly played ball by Katus. And I saw a fair amount of that today that really bugged me out of the secondary, where they were just in the wrong spots. They positioned themselves well, but then didn't do the little things. Katus should have broken in front of the receiver and tried to intercept the ball, actually, but at least get there. But he came out about his side and only put a hand in. Or there was one of the touchdowns by Stanford where the corner was trailing him when he could have been in front. He could have gotten in front of him, and he didn't. And it just little things like that where a really good quarterback, and Luck played really well today. I've always been one to think less of him than others. I must admit, today he impressed me in a lot of ways, even considering the lack of pressure we were getting. But he threw all the right balls, made all the right reads. He did exceptionally well today. So I really think he did a lot to prove to me how good of a QB he is. But then on offense, we just didn't have it. And I thought the game plan was good. They did a lot of moving the ball around, a lot of safe throws for Manchin, things like that. But then there were just all of these execution errors, from penalties to missed throws to, you know, bobbles and drops and just thing after thing that it's just a huge problem. You know, over at the blog, The Bear Will Not Quit, he's been campaigning for the last few weeks that Tedford needs to actually get more involved in the offense again. He has to do one of two things. He has to either find an offensive coordinator who can run the whole show, and Tedford has to step back and let the other guy implement his offense and his scheme and his mindset, or he has to get more involved and own it again. Because right now it's this middle ground where he has this scheme and mindset and idea, and he's asking other people to do it for him, and it's not working. This 7-14 points a game isn't going to work. And I'm sorry, Manchin, although young from an experience standpoint, is not that young. He's a junior. He should be playing better by now. There's too many talented quarterbacks, as far as recruits are concerned, on this team not to have someone who can play football right now. And although the defense continued to break down more and more, in the end, I think this game falls on the offense's shoulders, because they weren't doing anything to give the defense breaks. The defense did have its problems and its issues. I mean, anytime you give up 48 points, that's true. But I didn't see anything out of the Stanford defense that said to me this couldn't have been a shootout. You know, and you just can't count. Cal had this problem in the opposite earlier in the Tedford era, where the offense was all we had, and the defense was going to give up 20 or 30 points, so the offense had to score 30 to 40 to 50 points to win the games. And you just can't have a team that's built on one unit winning you the game every week. You can have one unit win you the game one week, and a different unit win it a different week, and you can have group efforts from both of them where both of them win you the game, but you can't just count on the offense or the defense to be the thing that's winning you games week after week. And Cal right now is in the position where their defense is the only thing that wins them games. And so if the defense doesn't completely shut somebody down, the Bears don't win. And that's just not sustainable. That's not a model that will work. And I'm glad, really glad, that our defense has risen to that level. And I think there's a lot of hope and promise in this defense that makes me very optimistic for future years, particularly as they continue to recruit good players and they can continue to execute well as they know the scheme better and better. But the offense has just shown me nothing that says they're going to break through at any point in the future without some significant changes. And the talent is there. This offensive line has actually been doing okay. I mean, it had some issues today, but they weren't the breakdown problem. Obviously, Vereen's exceptional. Keenan Allen and Marvin Jones are very good receivers. The rest of the other receivers actually are complementing them well. The pieces are there. It's just not happening. We're getting too many mistakes. And it's very, very frustrating to me. Something needs to change substantially. So I'm beyond frustrated. It just was really painful to watch today. I was upset the entire time, and I just don't like... I mean, I don't want to be a part of something like that on a regular basis, right? I'll put up with having really disappointing games now and again, but the heart wasn't there, and they need to get that heart back next week. At the same time, I do want to focus on some of the potential positives. To me, this was the first week that Tedford really let Manchin open up the playbook and make decisions. Actually, one of two things is true. It's possible he did that before, but Manchin was so hesitant, it didn't look like he did. But I believe Tedford still had the reins pretty tight on him through the Oregon game. And this week, it seemed he opened him up a little bit more, let him try some things. And obviously, Manchin made some big mistakes. Some of his mistakes were good reads, but poor execution. His first interception... he just underthrew the ball. And I think that was true actually of his second interception. The one where he went across his body trying to get back to Keenan Allen was just a bad... That's one of those you have to see it and you have to learn it once and actually do it and see. It's so hard to throw across the field, across your body, back to the other side and not have somebody with a lane across the ball who can get there. So my point is... I feel like Manchin learned a lot today. It's going to be a disappointing experience, no doubt, but I feel like this is a game that will help him for next week. And I sure hope Tedford doesn't overly bring back the reins for next week, that he still allows him to move the offense. And I really liked what they were doing schematically with the sweeps and the reverses, and he brought out a lot of tricks from his bag this week that... impress me, and I want to see more of that. I want to see us continuing to really stretch the defense. There were points where that Stanford defense looked really tired early in the game, because Cal had some good drives to start things off. They just got killed by mistake. I think there were three or four early drives where I said, okay, the offense is moving the ball. We can win this game. And then the mistakes killed us, and the Stanford offense clawed their way through a fairly strong early defensive effort by Cal. But then Cal ran, the defense ran out of gas, and the offense actually got a little figured out by Stanford and was all downhill from there. So, I mean, there's some reasons for hope. Also, I think the offensive line played well today. There weren't many drops. The wide receivers seemed to be catching the ball well today. There were certain things that made me feel like there's some hope here, particularly to beat a very mediocre Washington team. That's going to be inspired to play us next week. They're still shooting for bowl eligibility. Luckily, the Bears have the same motivation, so I'm optimistic that they'll come with 100%. And I feel like they didn't completely drain themselves this week. I feel that last week took so much out of them that you could see it this week. I don't feel that next week will be too overly affected by their effort this week because, you know, the game was out of reach at halftime. But I want to look back at another piece of the puzzle, because we've been talking about how horrible the Bears play on the road and how well they play at home. But now let's look at who we've beat at home and who we've lost to on the road. There's only one team that doesn't make any sense, because the two teams we lost to at home, both were top of the Pac-10, and we lost to them. The teams that we beat at home, they're all below us in the Pac-10. And there's one exception on the road. Arizona's in front of us on the road. USC's in front of us on the road. Washington State, who we beat, is behind us on the road. And then there's Oregon State. So Oregon State's the one exception, a team that has had a little bit of mojo against us. And then Riley went down in that game. And yeah... you know, they beat us pretty thoroughly, but that game could have been very different if he played well. So, I don't know. As much as it seems like there's clear evidence that this team plays so much better at home, and there's no doubt that that performance against Oregon gives credence to that theory. At the same time, if you look at who we've won and lost to, And particularly when you include the big game now where we just got skunked at home. It's the first time, in fact, I'm curious when the last time the Bears gave up 48 points at home. It's probably been a very long time. So, I don't know. It's not as clear-cut as people would like to think, and I'm not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing. You know, if you have a problem with performing on the road, it says you can just fix that problem somehow, and you've got a team that's, you know, much better. On the other hand, when you find out that it is more consistent than it seems, then the team's just where it is. You don't have this emotional problem that you also have to solve. But that team's getting blown out way too much. I mean, that's the problem, right? It's a team that you say, we're not supposed to lose by 3 and 5 touchdowns, ever. You know, I mean, it's allowed, you know, once every 3 seasons, but you gotta be competitive in all your Pac-10 games. You can't just get skunked like that. So looking forward to the Huskies. We saw them play on Thursday. They looked okay against a pretty mediocre UCLA team. They definitely wore them down with their running attack and with Locker running. And obviously he abused us all game last year. But he did it through the air, not on the ground. And he really hasn't been himself this year with the cracked ribs and everything throwing the ball. And he didn't look that great throwing the ball against UCLA. So I still think this Bear team, if they can regroup, they can play a reasonably good game, should beat Washington. This defense should be able to shut Washington down. They have the speed to contain Locker. And unless Locker had probably the best game of his career against Cal last year. I mean, he threw the ball exceptionally. And he hasn't shown those kind of skills all this season. So, it's not reasonable to expect that he's going to deliver a similar performance as he did last year. So the defense should be able to contain that team. And so it's all about whether the offense can start to get some rhythm going. And I saw some good signs today. Manchin needs to learn from his mistakes. His biggest problem that I don't know how you solve in a week is his touch down the field. You probably don't want to have him throwing over the top, whether that's into the corner of the end zone or whether that's down the middle, very often. I mean, you probably want to stretch the field a couple times a game, but most of the interceptions and most of the near interceptions were due to him trying to have deep touch, and he significantly underthrew the ball. And then later he had some other throws where he clearly was compensating and he overthrew the ball. And maybe by next season he can get that worked out, but right now he does not have the deep touch. But I did see him doing out patterns, doing dump-offs, doing a number of things that I liked. And so actually, in a lot of ways, as far as execution planning today by the coaching staff, there's kind of two pieces to coaching, right? There's the plays that you diagram, the schemes that you have, all of that. And I felt like that part of the game plan today was pretty good. I didn't look at anything and say, what the heck is the coaching staff thinking, with one exception that I'll get to. The other half of it is how they're preparing the players both emotionally and skill-wise so that they can execute on these game plans. And that's where I think Tedford and his coaching staff have had their issues, particularly on the emotional side, but also at times, you know, the dropped balls and things like that, that is not just emotion. That's also technique and things that the coaching staff isn't clearly getting through well enough. But there's one area schematically that I just look at the Bears and say, there's no way we can keep doing that. And that is, Tedford has over-programmed into his quarterback's minds not to run the ball. There were 4 or 5 times today Manchin should have just pulled down the ball and gone. And I think it really is a weakness of Tedford. He needs to let Manchin, and see, what's clear to me is, you see the quarterback get up, he's at a point where he's thinking of throwing the ball, or he's thinking of running, and you can tell, you know, it's like the beatings he's received kick in. He says, uh-oh, no, I need to find some dump off, I need to do something. I mean, there was one time where he threw it about 5 yards forward to Vereen. By the time Vereen turned around and ran upfield, Manchin was already past him. If he had just run the ball, he would have done much better. And then there was the times where he was down in the red zone and he had this huge area open and he ended up throwing a duck that was almost intercepted. It's like, just run the ball. And you see other teams have coaching their quarterbacks much better in that regard. If you got green light and green grass in front of you and it's not a time critical situation like the infamous 2007 Oregon State game, let the dang quarterback run the ball. He doesn't need to try to find somebody downfield. And I think this is an area where Tedford needs to have a change of heart and stop overbeating out of them not to run, because that's where they all are at. Every single quarterback has had that problem at Cal. Now, luckily, we've had some quarterbacks who were very good in the pocket and didn't have to deal with that, but we have some quarterbacks, you know, Riley and Manchin both had pretty good wheels. This isn't Longshore. I can get why you tell Longshore never to run, because the man had concrete in his boots. But Manchin can run the ball. Riley could run the ball, and they just had it beat into them never to run, and that has to change, because it allows the defense to attack the Cal in certain ways and not have to worry about those runs. And I guarantee you, if Manchin had been off and running a few times, the Stanford defense would have behaved a little bit differently than they did and not been so willing to come upfield towards Manchin in certain ways. So Manchin needs to learn from this experience. Going back to this original point of how the offense gets rolling against Washington, the scheming and the breadth of plays and the pushing it inside and outside and forcing the defense to really defend everything that they did in their first few drives today, I think was really good. And if we repeat that against Washington, I think we can do well. And I think Manchin, if you give him the underneath or the lasers passing game open and you just don't give him many things where over-the-top touches required, he can be successful and the offense can work well. And then if we somehow let him start running the ball more, that could help as well, because he's got pretty good wheels and a team like Washington is going to sell out to try to get to him, and there will be some open running lanes that allowing him to run would really, really help. So there's some hope, there's some potential there, and I think the defense with their speed can contain Washington, and I really think we can win the sixth game. Now it's for sure looking like the Sun Bowl, unless Arizona loses to Arizona State next week, because the order of bowls, of course, would go, well, for the lowest case scenario, it would go Stanford in the Alamo, Arizona as a repeat in the Holiday, and Cal in the Sun, assuming we win next week, because we'd be ahead of Washington and UCLA, and, well, Washington wouldn't be eligible, but we'd be ahead of UCLA, who's about the only other team at this point that's eligible, assuming Cal beats Washington. And even they are a long shot, having to beat both ASU and USC, something I don't think they're going to pull off. But there's still an outside shot that the Holiday Bowl is not interested in having Arizona repeat. It's unlikely, considering the distance between those two teams as far as overall record and that sort of thing. But Sun Bowl looks like a real possibility if they can win next week, and I think they could. I think there's a real hope that they could pull that off. So, clearly heartbroken today. Obviously, I'm a type of person who likes to see potential and opportunities and hope for the future, and there is some, but it's just so disappointing to see such a blowout big game loss. The Bears really need to spend some time in the offseason retooling on offense, and let's get that axe back next year. So, that's going to wrap it up for this edition of the podcast. I assume Jason and I will do a midweek podcast as always. And go Bears. On the road again.